Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
All right, Marks and Reese, we are back. Baldy's expected here in about a minute or two, so stay tuned for that. Super Bowl is set. The Buccaneers and the Chiefs, you were 2-0 in your picks, Ike. I was 0-2. So you had it right.
Thank goodness for Ike Reese.
Yeah. Yeah, by well,
I've been leading the show all year, really, in my predictions.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. I've got a bounce back year this year. I was terrible last year.
You were good this year in your picks?
Yeah, I was good this year.
For a while, yeah, you were better than anybody. You were like a professional with your picks.
Yeah,
you almost started selling them on the
station.
That's
what I'm saying, yeah.
He has his own website. Go to IkeReesePick.com.
You have a 1-800 number or anything? No.
Now I can't stop betting. Now he's doing props and he's doing.
Oh man, I'm all over the place, man.
By the time the game started yesterday, though,
I
felt like Kansas City was going to win it. So I'm not changing my pick, but it actually played out the way that I had an expert on the national show that I do on CBS Sports Radio that said that he feels like Josh Allen is going to try to go toe-to-toe with Pat Mahomes, and he's not Pat Mahomes, right? So it made a lot of sense that on the road, first time really being there, that they would struggle against a Kansas City Chiefs team that's probably going to win another Super Bowl this year that could easily go back-to-back. So Chiefs are just – listen, and Tampa Bay's a good team, and I like their defense, and Tom Brady had, you know, wasn't great yesterday, but – the reason they're there is the culture that Tom Brady kind of sets. I still think the Chiefs are the team that are going to win. And that the line surprises me, too. Only a 3.5-point spread open.
Mm-hmm.
So.
I'm rolling with the Chiefs, that's for sure.
Yeah, it seems like it.
Yep.
All right, so Baldy joins us
I don't know if it'll
right
be that
now.
Easy on game day, though.
Baldy's brought to us by presented by BetQL. You get access to data and insights the sportsbook don't want you to see. Bet smarter and beat the books. Download the BetQL app or visit BetQL.com today. You can also hear Baldy with Jason Lockenfora on Baldy's Breakdowns. New episodes out twice a week. Just search Baldy wherever you find your podcast. What's up, Baldy?
Johnny, what's up, man? Ike, how you guys doing?
All right.
Doing good, Baldy. Doing good, brother.
Yeah.
Doing well. We want to talk about the games yesterday for a minute with you, but overall, what's your what is your reaction? What's your opinion on the Nick Sirianni hiring?
I think they missed out on a couple guys that they were really interested in. I think they were really high on Arthur Smith, and they wouldn't let him out of Atlanta. And Brandon Staley was a guy, and then for whatever reason they flirted with Lincoln Riley, and that wasn't going to happen. Then you're okay. What can we do? I mean, I think Jeffrey Lurie said it, really in a postseason press conference that Carson Wentz is a tremendous asset and they got to get the best out of him. And so when they started looking at some of these guys, I think Nick Sirianni is a guy that obviously has done good work with Frank in both San Diego and Indianapolis, and they've had some success. And so I thought, that was probably a good hire. It's sort of under the radar, but for what they wanted, it probably made a lot of sense.
Baldy, I guess you're never really going to know. He hasn't called plays, right? He hasn't led a locker room. We even talked to one of his former players who played under him in San Diego that said, there's a lot of unknown. He's good at doing this. He's good at doing that. But is this kind of an unknown like some other candidates that are out there?
I think so. I mean, look, I guess the question I always have – John, when people talk about, well, we're gonna get our quarterback fixed, you know? That's what Bruce Arians was going to do with Jameis Winston. Well, all right, what are you going to do with the other 52 guys if your quarterback does get fixed, whatever that really means? I mean, if you get him back on track and play at a high level, well, what about the other 52 guys in the locker room? Like, are you going to talk to all of them? Do you have command of all of them? We don't know that. We don't. I'm not going to be negative about Nick, but we don't know if he can command the locker room. And if things don't go well, you know, and the sky is falling in Philadelphia like he can after a second straight loss, like, how does he handle it? We really don't know what that's going to be like yet.
Baldy, what's the sense that you're feeling that – why did the Eagles miss out on some of these guys like Arthur Smith and some of these other coaches? And those guys decided to go elsewhere, Arthur Smith, Atlanta. Just wondering whether or not the Eagles' job is as attractive as we like to think that it is.
Well, I mean, Brandon Staley has been out there. You know, he's looking at having Justin Herbert, you know, and a pretty good defensive personnel.
Yeah.
You know, returning on that side of the ball, and anybody that watched Justin Herbert play this year think, like, this guy with the right guy, it looks like they could compete in the AFC West next year, even with San Diego, with Kansas City. Mm-hmm. They played him really good twice this year. And so I'm sure that was really attractive to Brandon Staley. He stays on the West Coast. I'm sure that was attractive. He's with the Rams. He goes to the Chargers. I mean, that's, you know, just – geologically, that makes a lot of sense. And Arthur Smith, look, I'm sure that, you know, when Arthur Blank talked to him, he's got a very convincing style about himself. You know, he's very, very successful off the field with Home Depot. And he's done a good job in Atlanta with soccer and, you know, football and all kinds of other civic things that he does in that city. I'm sure that, you know, he was pretty well smitten, you know, by Arthur Blank.
Baldy, are you surprised the staff that Sirianni's putting together as far as his coordinators and, like, the passing game coordinator essentially are young, almost as young or in some cases younger than he is? Is the staff a surprise to you?
Yeah. Well, he's able to keep Stout. I think that was really important, Jeff Stoutland. Shane Steichen, you know, took over for Ken Whisenhunt last year, calling the plays for the Chargers. Anthony Lynn made him the offensive coordinator. You know, he's kind of had a pretty quick rise. He was basically just an assistant, you know, without a position until Anthony Lynn made him the quarterback coach. I mean, Philip Rivers, I don't know how much he had to actually do, but he called plays this year, and the offense jumped a little bit with him. Kevin Petullo, I mean, he was the quarterback coach for Ryan Fitzpatrick back in 2015 with Todd Bowles and the Jets, and that was Fitzpatrick's best season ever, you know, in his time in the NFL. So he's got some young guys there. Tracy Rocker, you know, he was a former defensive lineman in this league, has been coaching the defensive line for a while. They played well up front for the Colts this year. Jonathan Gannon is their defensive coordinator. I mean, look, they're zone defense. You know, they're four-man front. Their secondary, Julian Blackman, came in, took over from Malik Hooker, and played great. I mean, he was about as good a free safety as he was in football this year. You know, Xavier Rhodes played really well at right corner for him. So, you know, you saw some things from the secondary of the Colts that said, okay, you know, whoever was coaching him did a pretty good job.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Baldy, another story to come out, I guess it was yesterday, a lot of Eagles fans were somewhat relieved that it seemed like the Eagles were bringing some front office help for Howie Roseman with John Dorsey. He came in as a consultant there a couple months ago, but he goes to the Lions and he's going to join their front office. Like Howie Roseman, we just talked about the coach. Was it difficult to bring in the coach that they wanted? What is going on in the front office? Are there guys that don't want to work with Howie Roseman, don't want to work in that front office? What was the deal with John Dorsey?
I don't know what happened with John. I mean, I don't know if it's a better position, you know, in Detroit than what he had here. You know, they haven't been able to keep guys. And they kept Andy Weidel, and he's on the second year of his contract right there. I mean, put Andy's ability to judge personnel up against anybody in the whole business. He's got 20 years with the Saints and the Ravens and the Eagles here, part of the Super Bowl championship team. You know, they lost a young guy to Cleveland last year, and it worked out well for them. But I mean, if you go through just all the guys that have left here, I mean, there's not a lot of guys. Joe Douglas, not a lot of guys have stayed. Jason Light, I mean, they've all kind of come through here, and it's really been – I mean, it's kind of like general manager of Central here. I mean, guys come here and work, and they go get jobs. Andrew Berry, and Joe Douglas, and Jason Light. I mean, you go through the list of guys that have come through Philadelphia, and suddenly they become general managers. Not a bad stopping point here.
Yeah, when you look at this team, Baldy, a big question is always about Carson, right? And what's next for him? Just want to get your thoughts. You're a former player, just like I am, on the way sort of he's handled the end of the season, not speaking, hasn't made any statements about Doug's firing, about Sirianni's hiring. Just your thoughts on where his head might be at right now.
Well, I'm sure he's still, just disappointed by a 4-win team. You know, I mean, I think he's probably embarrassed by a 4-win team in the single worst division I can remember in the NFL in a long, long time. And so I'm sure that he wants to try to get this ship straightened out here and go in the right direction with the coaching hire. It was a very extensive search. They went through probably, 10, 12 guys. And so now they're trying to fill out the staff. So I'm sure that takes the precedence right now. But I'm sure there's a lot of embarrassment, Ike, about just how this team performed. And really, the end of the season, whether it's, pulling Jalen Hurts like they did and all that kind of stuff that happened, I'm sure it's been a source of real embarrassment for him.
Yesterday, reaction, Baldy, I still give the Bucs credit. I guess I was just surprised that the Packers didn't really have it all yesterday. What did you think?
Well, they didn't play well. I mean, they were number one offensive football year. And, Devontae Adams beats Carlton Davis silly in the end zone. You can't get to completion. You got missed assignments all over the place offensively. I thought defensively to take the ball away from Tom Brady, three straight drives in a row, and really not being able to capitalize on it. I thought the offense of Green Bay, including just the lack of aggression on fourth downs, just didn't make any sense to me. And I thought that Aaron Rodgers didn't play his best game, but I didn't think the receivers around him were very good yesterday all day long.
Yeah. Brady, man, he really almost had a tale of two different halves there. Great in that first half, and then he was trying to give the game away in that second half. But he's going to his 10th Super Bowl. We have a chance to win his 7th one, Baldy. Just your thoughts on Tom Brady, and, man, he continues to amaze us all, I guess.
Well, it's a team game, Ike, so, the defense is awfully good. They've got 7 takeaways in the postseason, and, credit Bruce Arians. When he gets a takeaway, like he did yesterday, he's looking to score right away. Mm. And they've scored on 6 touchdowns on 7 takeaways in the postseason, against Washington, New Orleans, and then yesterday. I mean, they strike fast. They stay aggressive. They go for it like they did yesterday, with, 8 seconds to go in the half. Mm-hmm. And they throw, it's all or nothing. Yeah. I mean, it's all verticals. And Brady takes the best shot possible to Scotty Miller. And that changed the game right there. And so, they get a takeaway on the opening drive of the third quarter from Aaron Rodgers and a great play by Sean Murphy Bunting. And the next play action pass to Cameron Brate for a touchdown. And within a minute, they went from 14-10 to 28-10 game. And so I think it's the coaching, it's the defense right now. And then, Brady has done his part.
Yeah.
And it just comes down that they can beat the Chiefs. Baldy, I was saying it earlier, Tyreek Hill is an unbelievable weapon. And I can't remember a player with that size that just made such a difference in a game. Anytime he touches the ball, it could be a touchdown.
Yeah, it can. And you constantly see everything. I mean, whether it's Tre'Davious White giving him ridiculous respect on a 3rd and 5 where it's just it's a layup, or Tre'Davious White taking a bad angle on a 5-yard stop route and the guy just goes for 33, or, taking a 7-yard slant off an RPO and going 71 yards. And he did the same thing, against the Bucs back in week 12. I mean, he had 200 yards receiving in the first quarter. So, 75-yard touchdown, 44-yard touchdown.
Yeah.
He changes the game. He is the cheetah, and there's only one cheetah in this business right now.
That's it. Baldy, great stuff, man. Appreciate it.
Appreciate it, brother.
Yep, you got it, guys. Yep.
All right, there he is, Baldy. And Baldy's calls, as always, brought to you by BetQL. It's here to help us make all your bets better through real proven analytics. Bet smarter and beat the books. Download the BetQL app or visit BetQL.com today. You can also hear Baldy with Jason Lockham for a Baldy's Breakdowns. Episodes out twice a week. Just search Baldy wherever you find your podcast. Yeah, Aaron Rodgers wasn't necessarily good yesterday. They were fumbling the ball all over the place. Aaron Jones had a couple of fumbles.
Yeah.
You know, that the decision at the end of the game to go for the field goal. So I'm watching the game and I kind of look down and I look back up and the kicker's kind of, kicking his feet to get ready to kick the field. I'm thinking to myself, what are you doing? Right? Like, I get it. They kick the field goal, you get a stop, and then you go down and you win with a touchdown. But what are the odds that was going to happen?
Well, it's a young coach in that position. And, his explanation was his defense had played well, particularly in that second half. They had taken the ball away from Brady three times, so yep. I get that. And Tampa's offense hadn't done anything really in that second half. So I kind of get where he's coming from, but, man, you want to take as many shots as you can with Aaron Rodgers, with your quarterback. You don't want the defense out there on the field having to stop Tom Brady, because what you're really saying is you trust your defense
more than Aaron Rodgers. Aaron.
Right. And you can't do that, man. You rather go down with your best firing away than you trying to be conservative and do sort of the smart thing.
By the way, you're going to need to score a touchdown.
Yeah, you're going to need a touchdown. So you may as well take one more crack at it with Aaron Rodgers. You may as well.
And by the way, on that third down play, I think Rodgers could have ran for the touchdown, right?
Mm-hmm. Looked like it.
I mean, he had plenty of room. I know that the space closes quickly in the NFL, but it seemed like that if he would have just done a pump fake and then ran in, he could have gotten there. They had so many opportunities to – I mean, the Packers cost themselves that game. Tampa Bay didn't come in and win. The Packers just played bad. They played poorly.
Yeah, I mean, listen, Brady turned the ball over three times, and you only scored 6 points on it.
Yeah, that's
I mean, that's pretty much that's the game right there. Like, the Tampa Bay capitalized on Green Bay's turnovers, and Green Bay, you're only able to get 6 points out of three interceptions.
Yep. Yeah, and that touchdown to Scotty Miller before the end of the half. Yeah, because, I mean, they and the defense they were playing, I was actually in the car. I was listening to WIP because I was picking up dinner. And the way that it was described was that they more or less, like, they could have very easily given them 10 yards, but they were trying to take away the extra yardage because they went on to kick the field goal.
Right.
Meanwhile, they left the corner one-on-one. And Scotty Miller is a track guy. He's a fat, yeah. Like, he's fast.
Well, don't worry. Kevin King knows that now.
Seriously, man.
Yeah, if he didn't know it prior to the game.
Holy cow.
When it would behoove you to read the scouting report, he knows it now.
I mean, it was a simple go route.
He ran right by him.
He just ran right by him.
Yeah.
Like, wow, what a way to give up a touchdown before the half. I know they were thinking, like, all right, we're getting the ball, come out, second half, let's stop them here.
Mm-hmm.
Right, we'll get the ball. No, they score a touchdown. And, like, it was such a big momentum shift. But then Brady played terribly in the second half.
Oh, yeah, he played, terrible.
Terrible.
I mean, like, three, like, bad interceptions.
Yeah!
No, terrible. It's tough to have the, like, oh, Tom Brady the GOAT conversation after yesterday's game. I know we're going to do that for the next
still,
2 weeks.
He's still the GOAT, but
no, I know,
he just didn't play great yesterday. You just don't typically win when you throw three interceptions in a championship game in a half.
Not like that. All right, your reaction to the Bills-Chiefs, like, it just, to me, it was just the Chiefs are the better team, and it's just pretty much simple as that.
Yeah, listen, I thought Buffalo came out strong, caught the Chiefs on their heels. Chiefs getting that three and out, the opening drive where, you know, Pat Mahomes couldn't hit Tyreek Hill. Buffalo taking that and going down and scoring. You know, you got to keep scoring, though, against Kansas City, because you know eventually they're going to get it going.
I felt like they were a little bit – Sean McDermott was a little bit conservative, especially against a team like Kansas City.
Yeah.
Right, like
the quarterback wasn't hot yesterday either.
Well,
Josh Allen didn't play his best game. But listen, he did what he could do. He's running. He's throwing. He's doing everything he can do. It's just, you know, I mean, the one tipped interception was tough.
Yeah.
They were going down to score. He was getting points right there.
Yeah, it was a big momentum swing.
Well, McDermott definitely lived up to the nickname Little Red.
Little Red.
Oh, that's not.
I mean, come on. I mean, this is why you don't hire defensive head coaches, because they don't act in big games.
What do you do?
I mean, he's kicking field goals in the fourth quarter. I mean, have some stones.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I felt like that one field goal that they took on what was it? Where were they? The fourth? They're like the five or the four?
Mm-hmm.
I would have went for it there.
Yeah.
But he's trying to take the points because there's a lot of time left in the game.
I played a long game. Yeah, he's trying to play a long game. Yep.
But the biggest gripe of that I saw, and I like just watching the game live, I always have the reaction of, well, why are you going? Why would you kick the extra point to be? You know what I'm talking about towards the end where they score a touchdown. If they go for two, it can be 16. If you kick the extra point, it's 17. Is that the scenario that it was, Jack? Do you know what I'm talking about here? Romo was getting killed because he didn't understand what was going on. But apparently it's one of those analytics things that Doug always used.
Mm.
I don't know. It's towards the end of the game where, I mean, at that point, the game was over anyway. So it's not like there was 4 minutes left and they either needed 16 points or 17 points to come back and even tie the game.
Right.
But for the most part, Kansas City's just a better team. And, you know, they're going to be tough to beat.
Yep.
They are going to be tough to beat. 215-592-9494. Marks and Reese. 215-592-9494. Let's get a phone call in here. Let's go to Anthony in Tacoma, Washington. Anthony.
Hey, what's going on, guys? How y'all?
You.
What's up, Anthony? As in the Pacific Northwest?
Yeah. Oh. I'm in Seattle.
Wow. Okay.
All right.
Yeah. And I am probably with a few of the people we are big Eagles fans out here in Seahawk land. Trust me.
Okay.
There's a group called the Northwest Bird Gang.
That's who I belong to.
Okay.
A man. All
okay,
right.
Okay. Okay.
I got good friends that we went to many of the Eagles Seahawks game when they came to CenturyLink Field, which is Kansas name. But we've always, I've talked to you before. I think I even met you at Kiki and Pete's when they played the Eagles back in 2014 with Merle Reese was there.
Oh, that sounds.
Right. Whatever happened, like Reese.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Now, let's get to what I'm going to say. The Eagles need to have not only a diversity change, but a change in culture. And here's why. This is for you.
Okay.
Do you know how Andy Reid was in Philly? It shows now because he's going to his second Super Bowl. He took us to a Super Bowl, albeit we lost to New England back in 2005, right?
Mm-hmm.
So my point being is everybody, you know, we compare apples and oranges, and we cherry pick on a lot of things. Here's what I'm saying about the new coach that's coming in. Like you guys been saying, it's that unknown, you know. It's that we don't know what's going to happen from this point on. Everybody gets up here and talks about how, you know, Carson Wentz got benched for Jalen Hurts. How Hurts came in, did a decent job, you know. But it's not that. It's who do you have as leaders that step up to the plate? Because you know, Ike, you had Brian Dawkins there, the most vocal Eagle of them all. And they have, you know, and you guys followed his lead.
Mm-hmm.
That's how come you got successful. That's why you had people like Jim Johnson, Andy Reid, Sean McDermott. Everything ties into what the Eagles organization is by the coaches and the people that have been a part of the organization. And let me add Ron Rivera, who is now the coach of the Washington Football Club. The bottom line is an infusion of culture and diversity needs to be put on this team. Not only that, they need to go back to the standards that, you know, Jeffrey Lurie, when he came to this team, because they've had, you know, Buddy Bell, who founded the team, Norm Brayman, who was, you know, one-time owner, and now you got Jeffrey Lurie. You know, you just need to have that culture cultivated in to be successful. You know
we
that.
We got you, Anthony. We got you. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. 215-592-9494. It's Marks and Reese. On the other side, we'll get to your phone calls as well. Hang tight. But we're going to break down Nick Sirianni's reaction to being hired by the Eagles versus his reaction to the Eagles drafting a player. Huh? A player will get into the awkward phone call as well because they put everything out on social media. So that's coming up next. We'll play it all. It's Marks and Reese on 94 WIP.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.